God bless you, grace and peace to you on this first Sunday, not after Easter, but of Easter in the Easter season. And is that Easter season, and what better time to consider the life that God has given us through giving life to his Son, the risen Christ? Good reason to consider that, because I'm sure you had a wonderful Sunday last week, and then Monday went back to work, or Tuesday back to school. And we often get thinking, you know, even though you may have felt you've passed your best years, you may feel that your best opportunities in life are behind you. And sometimes it's all downhill from here. Have you ever felt like that? You may have burdens you're carrying right now. Many of us do. Maybe your dreams, your marriage, your career, your goals have crumbled. That very well may be in your life. Perhaps you've become cynical and lost hope. Perhaps that's how the disciples felt on that Easter morning as they hid behind those locked doors at the first Easter. It was nighttime and they were there. And they were thinking about how their master was dead. Perhaps they thought about the last 3 years they spent with Jesus as his disciples were a waste, were gone. It was a nice experience, but now it's behind them. And we know they're afraid. They lock the doors, perhaps thinking about who's going to be the next to die. Pretty depressing thought and crowd there. But that's when Jesus changed everything as he came to them. He showed them that he was not dead, but risen. He showed them his very body. And the body of Christ, his physical body, is what made all the difference to them. The last time they saw his body, it was bloody and torn, a horror to behold. But now, it was changed. Now, it was resurrected from the dead. Alive again, but not alive like a scene from those horror movies, you know, Night of the Living Dead. Alive like we are, only better. The sight of Jesus' resurrected body brought great joy to the disciples. And I think here, considering the resurrected body of Jesus can bring great joy to us today, even in the midst of our troubles. An understanding of the risen body of Jesus brings us joy because it shows us what we will be like one day. Not that we become like God, but that we have those heavenly bodies that the scriptures describe. I think sometimes people think going to heaven is great, but it might be kind of boring and might be so unlike where we're at today that how will we know what to do and if it'll really be all that enjoyable. But the scriptures say that we will have a real body like Christ did. Our bodies will be like his. In fact, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, first fruits means if you pick the first apple off and it's really good, there's going to be more that follow. And if the apple's an apple you pick from the tree, the next fruit's not going to be something else. It's going to be the same thing. So as Christ has risen from the dead with a real body, that's what we're going to have too. He also says later in the chapter, as it was with the man of dust, that is Adam, who went back to the dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as it is with the man of heaven, we see Jesus here, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And furthermore, in the book of Philippians, the third chapter, St. Paul also writes, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body by the power that enables to subdue all things to himself. Many people fear death because they can't imagine what life will be like as a spirit. But being a spirit without a body is not a permanent state for Christians. That's only until Jesus comes back again. And then he will raise up all the dead and give us back perfected bodies. This body, but perfected the way it was supposed to be. And so we will be like he is. John writes in his first letter, chapter 3, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be like has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." You see, Jesus' resurrected body was no mere spirit. He wasn't a ghost. After his resurrection, Jesus invited the disciples to touch him, and he said, "See my hands and my feet and my side. It is me myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." In these Sundays coming, we will probably hear those stories from the Gospels of how Jesus, what he did. And, you know, one of them was making breakfast for the disciples and eating and speaking to many people. From these accounts, you can see that Jesus' resurrected body is the model for our own resurrected body on the resurrected earth. Now, what happens is that when we die, we go to be with the Lord. Our soul goes to be with God. But after his return, when he comes back to earth, he has promised that he will raise us all up. These bodies that we are in now will be resurrected. They will be changed. In our resurrected bodies, we will be as physical as we are now. We will be forever physical, but no longer subject to the problems, to the diseases, to the death and suffering and injury and age and all the other problems that inhabit these bodies, because we live in a sinful world and the curse is upon our body as well. People sometimes wonder, well, where will we go when we die? And the scriptures teach us that at death, the human spirit leaves the body. Ecclesiastes 12 says, "When we die, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." So our spirit goes back to the Lord. We either go to heaven or hell at that point. As we see in the story of the rich man and Lazarus that Jesus described and affirmed by him when he tells the thief on the cross that he will be with him today in paradise, there is immediate consciousness. The Bible talks about the souls who have fallen asleep in the Lord, but this does not necessarily mean they're unconscious as we were last night when we were in our dream state, Lazarus in heaven with the Lord and this rich man in hell are conscious of what's going on. And again, in the book of Revelation, we see these souls under the altar and they cry out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, until you avenge our death?" These are the martyrs who died for the faith. "How long, O Lord, will you wait until you come again and raise us?" I think we can describe heaven as kind of a two-stage process. Right now, it's the place where believers go after they die to be with the Lord. Not a whole lot about that in the scriptures. Let's call that the present heaven. It's the place where you live until your bodily resurrection. That's where our beloved ones are, our loved ones who have died in the Lord in faith, and they are with him. Now, don't be confused. This isn't purgatory. That's not a biblical idea. Jesus, we believe, paid the complete price for our sins. So they are resting from their labors. They are with the Lord forever. But the heaven that we go to when we die is simply a place without suffering. But it's not the place that we will live forever. Our eternal home, where God will come down to dwell among his people, is called in the scriptures the new earth. Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." And it goes on to say, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And perhaps this is most familiar to you. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former order of things has passed away. We often hear that at funerals, don't we? I think we often think of heaven as like we're going up to some angelic place where we'll be floating around on the clouds, you know, we'll just be spirits. But the Bible says that in this eternal heaven, that is, the heaven that is there, the new heaven, the new earth, God will come down to live with us in our new place, the new earth. I'm sure you've all sung that old familiar hymn that so many people love, "I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home." Well, that's true. This world, which is under a curse, is not our home, but the new earth, resurrected from the cursed earth after its death, will be our home forever, and there won't be any curse there any longer. Now, most people want to know, what am I going to do in heaven for all eternity? And I've been telling people for years, oh, we'll be praising God. But a closer study of the scriptures show us that the Bible says that we will reign with Christ over the new earth. Now, to me, reigning means having leadership, making important decisions, and setting goals and so forth. It's not going to be boring. We will rest, but that doesn't mean sleeping. We will serve God there, working for his glory. Your best day at work. I mean, when things are going really well, and all the people working there are working together instead of working apart, where they're sharing that camaraderie. Things are going smoothly. People enjoying each other. That's a foretaste of our work in heaven. The biggest difference is that we will want to go to work because the painful toil that's part of our daily lives now, with the curse that we are under, will be lifted forever, gone from us. Sounds like a great place to work, doesn't it? Kids always want to know, are there going to be animals in heaven, Mom and Dad, Pastor? Well, it is true that animals were a part of God's original creation, his perfect original design for earth. The Bible says he made them according to their kinds, male and female he made them. Since they are a part of a significant part of the original earth, I think that it is safe to assume that since God says he will resurrect the earth, just as he resurrects our body, we can assume that animals will be a part of that. In fact, in Romans it says that the animals and all of creation groan and long to be released from this life, to be delivered at the time when the redemption of our bodies comes. And in the Old Testament, Isaiah, chapter 11, chapter 60, and chapter 65 depicts animals as a part of that new earth. You're familiar with those words, the wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Now, that's about as far as I want to go, because I don't know much more about that without further study. But this new earth is going to be a wonderful place. If it's going to be such a wonderful place, then, why are you so worried about your life here and now, in this world? Why does it matter that you don't ever seem to have enough money? That you never seem to get enough of the material things that are all passing away? That you have to go to the doctor so much? Why does that matter if that is the life that God has given you right now? Did God say that it would be any different here until our resurrected life? Not until after the resurrection. That's when the curse is put away for us. I think it's plain to see that the only thing that really matters right now is that Jesus died and rose. And our sin and our guilt and our doubts went with him into the grave, and they didn't come out again. He's not going to resurrect us and then browbeat us and say, oh, well, yeah, you didn't live a very good life. Welcome in, but, you know, I still remember what you did. No, we live out our days now clinging to his promise, and until he calls us to that present heaven. And there our suffering will be over. But it gets even better than that. From there we will await his second coming, when he will suddenly come and raise up our buried and decomposed bodies out of those graves and make them new again. And they will be restored to their original design better than we've ever seen them, free from the curse. And he will take us to that new earth to live forever. Now, looking around, by the looks of things, I wonder if this new earth is going to be a lot bigger to fit all the people who've ever lived. But then I look around again and see how few people really trust the promises of God and can really call themselves Christians. And I think, well, there's probably going to be lots of room. Unfortunately, a world of this size will probably have lots of room. Thomas was a doubter. But when Thomas saw the resurrected body of Jesus, he saw it and he believed. And he got down and he worshiped Jesus. And Jesus didn't say, oh no, don't worship me, Thomas. But he accepted that worship as he was God. Then Thomas was sent with the others as apostles. No longer just disciples, but apostles. Those who are sent in the name of the Lord to breathe life on people and to give them a foretaste of that new life that's yet to come. They did this in a simple way, by forgiving the sins of repentant sinners in the name of Jesus. And friends, we have that mission too, don't we? We have that mission to breathe life on people. The only thing that matters, really, is saving faith in Jesus and bringing that message to the world. And yes, there is going to be hardship as we live. It is going to be difficult. Our bodies are going to be falling apart. We're going to have diseases. We're going to have hardship. We're going to have accidents. But you know what? What keeps us going is that image of Jesus' resurrected body. As he came and met with his disciples, we see him with our mind's eye. And we know that that is the image of our heavenly bodies and the life and the glories that we have in store one day. That's enough to keep us going through this life. And we celebrate that today in this service of God's Word and Sacrament. May the blessing of the resurrected Jesus be with you and give you that everlasting picture in your mind and in your heart of your heavenly body that God will bestow on you. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting.